নমস্কার, কেমন আছো টু অল লাভলি সুপার মাদার্স। ওয়েলকাম টু সুপার মাদার আনলিশড।
টুডে উই হ্যাভ এ গেস্ট হু ইজ এ বিউটিফুল মাদার অফ টু চিলড্রেন অ্যান্ড আর্কিটেক্ট। হার নেচার অফ ওয়ার্ক হেল্পস হার টু সারাউন্ড হার সেলফ উইথ হিস্ট্রি অ্যান্ড কালচার, ফর হার ফ্যামিলি কামস ফার্স্ট। She always makes sure to balance her personal and professional front such a way that every moment she enjoys whatever she does. Let's hear more from her. Hey Patricia, welcome to my show.
Hi Summer, how are you? And thank you for inviting me to this wonderful podcast.
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming. How you feel?
Thank you.
Great. So how are your grown-up memories, your school life, childhood moment, if you can share your story?
Okay, so I grew up in Colombia, in South America. I was born actually in Costa Rica, in Central America, but okay. My parents are both Colombian.
Okay.
And I come from a family, we are in total 5 children.
Okay.
That, and we grew up in Bogota, which is the capital city in Colombia. And yeah, my memories of my childhood are, I think they're happy memories. I suppose I just had, you know, like a standard childhood. I enjoyed a little friendship with my neighbor. She was the same age as me. So we used to go out, do roller skating and riding bikes and doing all sorts of things. And went to school there. And I was I am 4th, the 5. But my 3 eldest brothers and sisters, there is an age gap in between us, really, because the first 3, they were born pretty much one after the other. And between the 3rd and me, we have 7 years difference. So obviously, when I was growing up, it was a little bit lonely in a way, but because obviously my sisters and my brother were interested in other things when they were already teenagers and I was, you know, only 8 or 9.
Right.
But in any case, it was always, I always have these memories of, you know, parties for birthdays. My mom always making us the cake for the birthdays.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
For the first communion or one thing or another. And yeah, I suppose a happy family, you know, with the normal sort of difficulties that families have. And sometimes, you know, you argue with your brother and your sisters and your mom and your dad, the usual. But right. I think, I suppose it was a family that we were always, very loving to each other. And I miss that, really, because I don't live in Colombia anymore. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow. I know these are small, beautiful memories which we actually, you know, still cherish from our childhood.
Yes.
Amazing. So by profession, you are a conservative architect. What inspires you to get into this profession? Are you always crazy about old buildings and monuments?
Well, I always wanted to do something with my hands. So I always like painting and I always like drawing and I always like that sort of thing. And to be honest, when I was growing up and I was still at school, in high school, I wanted to be a painter because one of my aunts, she was a painter and she had exhibitions and things like that. And I remember she asked me one day, so what are you going to do when you grow up? And I was already about maybe 16 or something. And I said, well, I want to be a painter like you. And she was like, oh, no, you don't want that. You want a profession where you're actually paid something and you can live from that.
Yes.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be a patron.
Mm.
But she said, why don't you just do architecture?
Oh, that's amazing. Yes. Good idea.
Yeah. Funny thing, so my architecture doesn't really pay that much.
Every time it comes first in our head, that's it. Yeah.
I know. So, you know, at the time I actually thought, yeah, that she might have a point anyway. Yeah, every time I passed in front of one of the universities in my hometown and I will see the students coming out of the university at the time, and I'm talking back in the late 80s, early 90s, well, late 80s, really, I was still at school. I will see them coming out with those big rolls of paper and big square rulers and things, and I thought that was so cool. And I thought, oh, I want to be like one of them. I want to have lots of papers and drawing and doing things. So anyway, I started doing architecture, and while I was doing architecture in my university, they teach you different modules about different types of architecture. So, you know, you look at designing, for example, massive residential complexes or shopping centers or stadiums or hospitals or hotels or one thing or another. And in one of those modules, we looked at conservation and restoration and repair of old buildings. And I had to go for my project to a place in Colombia that is called Cartagena, mm-hmm. which is on the Caribbean coast. And that place in Cartagena is a World Heritage Site. It is a fort, and it was built as a fort when the Spaniards were in Colombia. And so anyway, so it's got still the fortresses, and it still has the walls and all sorts of beautiful, beautiful buildings in there. And I remember just going across one of those buildings that they were refurbishing at the time, and I saw that they were uncovering a fresco on one of the walls. And when I stopped and looked, this building used to be a convent for nuns. And what they were uncovering on the wall was actually a painting that they had done back in the 17th century or so of a Christ on the cross. Hmm. And it really impacted me, not because of the actual painting, but because I just thought, wow, how many layers of history are behind these painted walls that we didn't know about? Exactly. And, you know, we look at all these buildings like, yes, you know, just another building, but actually, to me, all buildings are our passport to previous centuries and our passport to previous lives. And okay. It's the only thing tangible that we have to actually understand our histories of our countries, of our places, and how where we come from as, you know, as a person or as a society. So, yeah, so since then, my love for all buildings started, and I decided at that point that, yes, that's what I wanted to do.
Lovely. You know, there's always an idea, you know, inspires you every time. Sometimes we are not aware about what we are good at, but there is always one small idea can give a great move in our life that happens.
Exactly. Yes. It's that sort of very, very short in time, but you know, it's like a spark in the darkness that you just feel like, oh my God, I never thought about that. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, born in Colombia and settled in Cambridge. How's that happen?
Long story? Yes, I'll make it short, don't worry. So, yes, but when I finished my degree, before I finished my degree, I always wanted to travel.
Okay.
And I didn't really have the means to go abroad to study or anything like that. But I had an uncle that he left Colombia when he was something like 17, back in the 50s he left. And he made his life in the United States, and he was very successful there, and he kept traveling between the States and Colombia. And I always wanted to be like him, because I thought it was really cool to be able to go to the airport and go on a plane and to, you know, foreign lands and learn another language and all of that. So I knew that I always wanted to learn English. I really liked the language. And then what happened then was that I decided, okay, I want to travel and I want to go somewhere else, and I want to do something in building conservation. So I started looking at universities and a way to get out of the country, because in Colombia they didn't have any master's degrees or anything in building conservation at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started looking and I applied to a couple of universities in Italy, and then I applied to a few universities in England. Mm-hmm. And started studying English and Italian at the same time, just because I didn't know where I was going to go. Okay. So then I ended up with an offer at the university here in York, and I took it. So I applied for a grant in Colombia. It was a sort of a grant loan in conservation.
Okay.
So I did it, and then unfortunately, after a year doing the degree, I qualified, went back to Colombia, and I couldn't find a job over there doing what I wanted to do. And so it was, you know, it just got to a point where I just thought, well, I can't really come back to do nothing. and I had a big loan to pay back.
Ah.
And so a friend that I had at the time, he offered me, he said, why don't you just come back and, you know, okay. you can find a job here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. So I came back. I came back to live in Glasgow for about 4 months, applied for jobs. And that was the beginning. So I started working in England and went from, I went to, about two different practices I worked for in different places. And then I ended up in Cambridge here about 3 years ago now.
Wow, that's amazing. You are inclined on learning something new takes you so many, you know, far. For it's not only the in professional front, personal front also, when you actually realize that you need to aspire your career on such a way that you can learn something and go ahead far. You know, that is one thing always everyone should have. Then I think, you know, you can do it. First, you need to perceive in your mind that what you wanted to do in your life. And if you make sure that you have conceived that point in your mind that I can do it and I wanted to go far, this you can definitely do it.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. I always think, you are the one who create your own life. And if you want to be miserable and do nothing, you can. But if you want to reach for the stars, you can as well. And you know, the only person that limits yourself is yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are always obstacles and there is always things that you think, oh, how am I going to do it? Oh, that's stupid. Oh, we'll never to do that. We'll never be able to do that. But you know, when I was in Colombia and I knew my parents couldn't afford send me abroad to study, I thought, well, I need to find a way of doing it myself. But I think, I always think it's not luck, it's just opportunity. And if you are prepared and the opportunity comes, you can take it. But if opportunity comes and you're not prepared, then, you know, it passes you by.
All right. So every mother enjoys a motherhood journey. When you have the thought to become a mother, is that the time you are realized that you're completely settled on your professional front?
No, I think being a mother was one of those decisions that, yes, I was happy with my professional side of things.
Right.
But I knew I always wanted children anyway. And I think it was more a decision about based on my age than anything. Because I married late, let's say in some by some standards. I married about I was 34, something like that. And then, you know, as you get older, getting pregnant gets a little bit more difficult. And although these days, you know, things are easier. But with my husband at the time, he's a couple of years older than me. And we just decided, this is the time. And I think, to be honest, I don't know, but I think there is never a time when you will say, oh, yeah, this is the perfect time. Let's do it now.
It's a beautiful feeling. Yes,
it is, but I don't think it. You never. I don't know. All the friends that I have, that are moms. Mm-hmm. They always say the same. They always saying like, you do it, but with trepidation. You always saying, yeah, let's be a mom, but you're never really 100% sure.
Right.
It's just that, you know, when it happens, it's great. But I think if you keep waiting and waiting until the perfect time arrives, I think it will never happen.
Tell us something about your pregnancy months. How's that experience? Any hurdles you have faced during that time?
So with my first child, I was here in England.
Okay.
And I think, I mean, it was great because obviously it was the first one. So I was, you know, just making everything that I could imagine. So all my creative juices started to run and, you know, I just wanted to make everything for him. And I didn't know it was a hen. We wanted the surprise. So I was making everything in yellows and greens and whites and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But I wanted to decorate the nursery and I wanted to, you know, like put my own stamp on everything. And so it was very, I think it was sort of relaxed, obviously a little bit. sometimes a little bit concerning in terms of, you know, health and is it going to be all okay? But to be honest, I didn't really have any issues. So my pregnancy went fine. Okay. And then with my child, she was also good. I really enjoyed it as well. I didn't have as much time as I had with my first one, obviously, to make so many things, but I did try to make a few bits for her, which again, we didn't know it was on her. We wanted a surprise. And yeah, it was good. But then with the second one was slightly better because we actually ended up living in Colombia for about 10 months.
Okay.
And she was born there. So that part was a lot easier to be surrounded by family than with my first child, because when I had my first child, it was only my mom and dad that were here. Okay. But they had to leave, obviously, after a couple of months. So it was a very lonely time being on a foreign country with a small child and your husband at work and
right.
No real friends around, and all the friends that you had from work were still single, and, you know, different stories. So yeah, those first months.
So you were working that time, or you just taken a break from your work?
I took 1 year off.
Oh, lovely.
So I was very lucky that here in the UK, so you know, with maternity leave and all that, they're quite generous. And I managed to do it. So yeah.
Okay. Oh wow. It is actually, you know, our heart says that you need to be there with your baby. That's true. That feelings comes from within, you know.
Yes. Nothing like mom. Yes.
True. Absolutely true. Yes. That feeling, nothing like mom. Yeah. Now you're a mother of two beautiful children. Any beautiful memory you would like to share with us?
Every day, really.
Every day, new feeling, new memories.
I feel so much in love with them. I think ever since they were tiny, I always feel so in awe of, you know, how you could create a little person in your tummy and have everything working perfectly inside and outside. And I feel really lucky when, you know, when you see other children that are suffering with different illnesses, or the moms, or, you know, I feel like I'm very grateful every single day for them. Mm-hmm. and just seeing them growing every day and just recognizing little traits in them, you know, like, oh, you're just like your dad, or oh my goodness, you have this thing of your granddad, or, you know, things like that you can actually recognize little bits of family in them. It's just beautiful. And I think the thing now that they're growing up a little bit more and they're getting a bit more of, you know, their own personalities, it's just great to see that they still come and give you a hug and they say, I love you, mommy, and or they offer you, mommy, can I make you a cup of tea, you know, it's beautiful. Yes. It is really nice, and you just feel like, yeah, maybe I'm doing things right. So obviously lots of mistakes,
right,
in the world.
Every mommy's right, you know. it can exactly differ on our thoughts and all, but whatever we are doing for our family and kids, we all are right. See,
yeah,
you know, that's what they say, parenting, there is nothing you know, straight rule or something, you know, exact rule. Every mother is different, and whatever they are doing by their way is perfectly all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I suppose in a way it's also, I think only until you become a parent,
yes,
you don't really understand your own parents,
right,
and where they come from, when they used to say things to you when you were growing up, and you always thought, no,
right,
oh, my mom, oh my god,
oh.
but I think when you have your own is when you start really understanding their concerns and why they were saying the things they were saying. And it's funny because you end up saying exactly the same things to your own. And that's quite funny, but then you also learn that to be less judgmental.
Yes.
Because you understand that, you know, before, when I didn't have any children or that, you would have thought, oh, look at that mom, oh, she's not doing this, or why is she doing that, why her child is, whatever. But then you actually think, well, actually, now I understand that, you know, there are days when you have really bad days.
Yes.
And you just need to get out of the house, and yeah, your child might be missing one sock because you couldn't find the other, but you you know, that so many things behind, and you just don't really know what's happening in people's life, and then you sort of start thinking, well, who am I to judge them, and who am I to actually say or criticize
True.
The way they're doing it?
Yes.
I mean, or unless it's really wrong, you know, obviously that you see something.
Sometimes it
really
happens
wrong.
That when you are doing something right, other people may find that it is not the perfect way to, you know, take care of your baby or whatever it is, or your home. They say it such a way that you feel bad, but actually you are not wrong. You are right. You're trying to do something right way for your family and for your child. So every time it happens.
Yeah.
And mostly mothers are facing this problem. I have seen that.
I think we women, we tend to come with these little sort of, I don't know, switch in our brains that we have to feel guilty about everything.
Right.
So if you are working, you feel guilty because you're not paying attention to your family. And then if you're with your family, you're guilty because you're not paying attention to your work. And it's constant. But I think... I suppose with time, you kind of start being more forgiving to yourself and understanding that, you know, there are only 24 hours in the day, and you also need to have time for yourself, and you also need to have time to switch off and, you know, I don't know, breathe.
Yeah, switch off and breathe. Absolutely true. Because every moment surrounded the home with mother, I have seen it, you know, every minute since the time you get up in the morning. It starts with breakfast, small things, you know, which I have also seen. You're surrounded with works, you're surrounded with things which you need to do it. That's what sometimes we feel like, you know, switch off everything and, you know, just breathe and breathe for yourself. Have you ever had a thought on giving up on your health, body after baby? Generally, most mothers around the world feel exhausted, including me, when they have every responsibility around. What do you think about it?
I suppose you become the last person that you think about. And especially when you have a little one, everything revolves around that little one. And it just becomes like a cycle that you are, when baby is awake, you are after baby doing one thing or another. And then if the baby goes to sleep, you think, oh, right, this is the time to start cleaning up. Oh, this is the time to hoover. Oh, this is the time to do whatever. But you never really think of, you know, well, what about is the time that you also have a nap? Or what about is also the time that you phone a friend? Or, you know, what about if, you know, you just sit down with a cup of tea and, I don't know, browse a magazine? Or, you know, you never think about that. You're always on the go. And if you stop for 5 minutes, you start feeling guilty, like, oh my God, I haven't done the, I don't know, washing up or whatever. And, you know, my husband is going to come back from work and is going to think that I've been doing nothing the whole day because the house is a mess.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, that little switch that I was talking about earlier, everything is like feeling guilty about everything.
Yes.
And then obviously the last thing that comes to your mind is do something about your body, because, you know, you've been 9 months carrying a baby, and then you've been through birth and all of that. And then at least to me, you know, that first year, I never even thought about doing exercise apart from going out and pushing the pram around the block. It was only until later when you start realizing that, okay, well, you know, this is time to start getting back into being a little bit fitter again, and one thing or another. I suppose, and that's my personal case. I know that there are some more moms that are, you know, very much into exercise, and they get great bodies, and, you know, right after the child is born, they just go back into perfect bodies. And, you know, I've never had a perfect body for a start.
Yes. It never. Yeah.
I mean, being, you know, just, I don't think I've been fat or terribly thin or anything like that. Just normal, I suppose. Yes, maybe on the overweight side of things. But never really an exercise enthusiast that would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to run or anything like that. And I have to come to terms with that, because I just saw, well, that's not me, and I'm not doing it, and I don't like it. And and I have the body that I have, and I like it. And yes, I look after myself, but you know, I'm not that person that goes to gym every single day or runs a marathon every Sunday. Or, yeah.
That's the way the happiness comes. It's not that we are copying someone, or you know, she's or he is making a good body and venturing here and there. No, I mean, whatever you feel like, this is the right time for me, I will do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just finding what is actually important to you. And, you know, if having a great body is important to you, then, you know, good for you.
Yes.
But for me, is I suppose it's more about, yes, being healthy and eating healthy as much as I can and all of that. But
you have also started your own entrepreneurial journey. I'm really happy to hear this. What gives you that thought and encourages you start this venture?
Well, I was in a job that I liked. So I was enjoying my projects and what I was doing.
Right.
But I also had this feeling after a little while working for the firm that I was working, that I could do things better myself. And I wasn't happy about the way some things were managed. And it just gets a point when you start feeling like, actually, I really don't want to put up with this anymore. You know, so you start, you know, your skills and your knowledge and what you could do on your own and how you could do it. And then after thinking about it and always wanted to do it, I did have my business for a little while, about
right
9 years ago, something like 9 years ago. But at the time, I think I was very naive, you know, in the way I opened the business, and I was really stressed. My children were a lot smaller, and so yeah, it was a really stressful time, and I ended up being ill, seriously ill. I had cancer, so I had to stop work, obviously, and if I had to stop work, well, there was nobody really dealing with the company,
right?
Because I'll for myself. And so after that, I decided, well, you know, I need to go back to be employed. So I went back to be employed and feeling like, okay, well, I'm going to use this time to get more skills, to get more knowledge, to learn a little bit more about the actual business of doing architecture from these places and see what happens. So I went to one large, very large company here, worked for them for about 3 years. Again, managerial side of it, terrible. Loved the jobs, the actual projects, but yeah, people, you know. And then I ended up with this other company in Cambridge, who are really lovely people, fascinating projects and all of that. But then again, I had, you know, certain things about things we manage and all of that. And then I just decided, well, actually, I really want to do my thing now. I'm turning 50 this Wednesday, actually. And I just thought, yeah, it's my time. I need to do it now. Where was? I'm never going to do it.
Right.
So, yeah, and I had a bit of a dip at the end of last year when I was feeling really, really down, just thinking, what am I doing, etc. And then, yeah, I came across some self-help things on YouTube and all of that, which sort of gave me that hump that I needed. And, yeah, I made the decision.
That's amazing step that you have taken towards your life, and you started this venture. You know, this takes lots of courage, but when you start, it gives you immense happiness.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. It was just one of those things that obviously during these times of COVID and many businesses closing down and also things, it was a little bit of what are you doing? And me thinking, what am I doing? But then at the same time, I just thought, well, you know, there are many people starting up, and if they can do it, I can do it.
Yes, absolutely. That thing should be there in your mind. If they can do it, you can do it. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So what do you think about natural healing, Patricia? Like a quick natural relief, which you are doing for your children and your family. You believe on that natural, you know, healing, which is available, easily available at home, like essential oil or any kind of natural things which you use for healing, you know, at home?
Yeah, I suppose I don't use it much. not because I don't believe in it, but because I don't really know much about it, to be honest.
Okay.
And I suppose I use the normal things that my mom would do for me when I was little, like, for example, right. if you have a cough, okay. then I will give you honey with a little bit of lemon.
Honey? Yes.
Yeah, with lemon. And then if you have, if you kind of breathe properly because you have a cold, then to get you to smell menthol or, you know, things like that. And then drinking teas like peppermint tea if you have a bad tummy. Yeah, it's just, I suppose, nothing really too special because I don't really know much about it.
Okay. But you know, small things, you know, generally honey and all, you really manage, right?
Yes, exactly.
For your family. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been using this since long for my daughter, and which I am finding it extremely, helpful, which has very less side effects.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So food plays a very important role for every child. What keeps you in mind while cooking for your children? Is the nutritional value or the taste factor? Any simple and quick recipe for our super strong mothers, which they can also cook for their kids and which your kids love the most?
Yeah, so I think for me, it is important that they eat something that is kind of a balanced diet.
Right.
It doesn't happen every day, mm-hmm. to be honest, you know, because there are days when you are up to cooking the whole day and there are days when you just don't want anything. Uh-huh. But yeah, I tend to cook things that I know from my own family and things that my mom would cook. So I make soups, and then I make things like red kidney beans. And I know that those are things that I really like. So I make them as special things for them.
Okay. So they love that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. They get very happy when I make one of those things, special, you know, the Colombian things.
Oh,
they
lovely.
Get really excited, yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. That's really nice, because really food plays a very important role for children and for family as well. So I also even emphasize, I don't want it to, you know, stand for a longer time in kitchen, but I make sure whatever I cook, at least they like it, and my daughter loves it.
Yes, exactly.
So Patricia, last not least, any beautiful message to those mothers who are still struggling while raising their kid and are trying to again get back their own voice and stand out in society? What one message you would like to give to those mothers?
I will say the first thing is to love yourself.
Right.
Because if you don't love yourself, you cannot really give love to your children or whoever is around you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you know you as a person, as a woman, as a mother,
okay.
and I mean that value is who you are, okay. and not who other people want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then just be true to yourself. Just, you know, be that person that you want to be.
Okay.
And then show that to your children, because I think your children live by example. And if we show our children that yes, they can do anything, but we're sitting in front of the telly every single day, well, that's not the message that they're getting, is it? But it's to actually by doing what you want, mm-hmm. you're actually showing them that yes, they can also do it and they can also achieve their goals. And to never despair. And I've seen many moms with small children that they are, oh my God, this is that. And I was there when my children were little. Mm-hmm. But then honestly, when they start growing up, you realize that the time when they were a baby is just so tiny in the big scheme of things, that really enjoyed those first smiles, enjoy those first words, enjoy those first steps, take tons of photographs. And just enjoy. I feel grateful, because you know, motherhood is unfortunate. It's not available to everyone, and I think it's a blessing that we can be mothers one way or another.
That's amazing, Patricia. Really, you know, for the mothers, this kind of support from other mothers is really important.
Yes, exactly. And I wish a podcast like yours was available before.
Oh, lovely.
Because I know it can be a very lonely time, especially, you know, as I say, if you have a small child and yeah. and you're at home with them, it can be very lonely.
Yes, I mean, that's how I started, because I have dealt alone with my daughter, small days, small moment. So, you know, I know, like me, there are so many other mothers are also there who are suffering, finding it, you know, difficult every day to, you know, raising their kid. So that was my intention, to reach those mothers. I can't go to them personally and meet, but at least through this platform, I'll be able to reach the world, all the mothers.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And, you know, this technology now is, you know, is brilliant. You know, this is great. You are in Mumbai and I'm in Cambridge, and we're talking, and it's just brilliant.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It was a mind-blowing conversation with you, Patricia. Your way of leading life and the process you have shared has made things easy, I'm sure, for so many mothers. And I'm so fortunate that I'm able to have a conversation with you, and it's been an empowering moment for me.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this invitation. Really, I really enjoyed talking to you.
So lucky to have you on my show. Thank you so much for coming, Patricia.
Thank you.
So with that, we have come to the end of this episode, and please do share this podcast with your friends, your colleague, and all the mothers in your network. I would also like to request all my listeners to please share your thoughts, views, feedback about this episode, and if you have any topic on which you want me to cover on my podcast, please write to me. Would love to receive your comments. I will see you next week. Till then, bye-bye.